Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sheldon Peter. I am Sheldon Peter. Here on today's show, we'll be talking about the news about gold that actually refined the fortunes of a coalition. But it's all coming up after we played a new song, which is called which is SCM by Ed Sheeran on Chartopedia on Arrow FM. That was SCM by Ed Sheeran on Chartopedia on Arrow FM. Looks like a good news for the coalition government, because the poll shows that National and New Zealand First are on the rise in the latest One News variant poll, with the coalition having their members again to form a government. Labour on the other hand has 41% in the poll, which surveyed 1,000 eligible voters and ran from March 29 to April 2. If an election were to be held today, the right bloc of National Act and New Zealand First would have 64 seats, enough to form a coalition, while the left bloc of Labour, Greens and Tipatamai would have 58 seats. That is a turnaround in the February's poll, which put Labour and left bloc in a driving seat. There's a party for quarter to one in three poll that shows National is on 36%, up 2 points. Labour is on 32%, down 1%. Greens is steady on 10%, at steady on 9%. New Zealand is up 2% to 7%. Tiba Mai's down 1% to 3%. Free Opportunity Parties is on 2%. And Fredis New Zealand is on 1%. National is up 2% to 36 today compared to February result, while Labour slipped 1% to 32. New South Wales has new highs up 2% to 7%. This is the highest of a party has been since the polls since September of 2017. But Greens and that are steady on 10% and 9% respectively. Tipa Mike continues to slide down by further 1% to 3. Recently, as December, five were on 7%. But Papa appears to be feeling better about the economy. Economic optimism is up by 3% to 39%. And at last point, while economic pessimism gone down from 25% to 21%. How many seats would get in Parliament? Monday's numbers. Women next ward have 44 seats in Parliament, down 5 from the current allocation. Labour would have 40, up 6%. The Greens would have 12, down 2%. It would have 11. The same number as have in the present. New Zealand First would have 9, up 1%, and Te Papa Mai would also have 6. As a due present, they would be extra 2 seats in a 122-seat parliament. As a result of what I had assumed, Te Papa Mai held on to their 6 electorate seats. Lux responded to Russell saying, "There's a lot of us. I don't come with him. I'm focused very much making sure that things are going to deliver for New Zealanders. We are making some good progress. We're turning the corner. It's good to see economic growth coming back. There's a lot more for us to do." How can see polls? Bounce around at this point in the electoral cycle, he added. "We've still got a lot of water to flow under the bridge before the next election. We are only halfway through the parliamentary term." The polls are showing that Labour support is rebounding from the last election, but we know we've got more work to do. We haven't started announcing major policies yet. We'll be doing more of that certainly in the second half of this year, heading to next year. Meanwhile, New South First leader Winston Peters said, I never talk about the polls because I don't trust them. He added that, well, polls to him with a pet outside meetings that his party held. Tipa and my leader, Debbie Nawea Packer, said, "Our opponent, we've always said, is actually out on the ground. Our opponent who tends to support Kau Papa Papa. How is that advising and iterating with us? We never be Marae or whenever on social media." And a preferred Prime Minister says neither Chris Luxon or Chris Hickers are particularly proper, but both treated in the right direction. Luxon is up by 1% to 23%, while Hickers climbed 3% to 20%. Winston Peters is now the third preferred option, going up 2% to 7%. In line with his party's members. Close Orbach has fallen from 6% to 4%, and the public seems to be going cold on David Seymour too. He's down from 6% to 3%. Rounding out for horrible measures of 1% are former Prime Minister Justin Ardern, Tea Party Mo's Hannah Wild team might be Clark, Finance Minister Nicholas, Education Minister Eric Conservant, Labour's Kim McAnulty, and the New Zealand Health Minister Simeon Brown. And then that's what Simeon Brown did today's mother saying, "We were jealous of people who voted on the economy today. I think the economy is just out of caution. Please, maybe fees will pause, will flip that as well." On his preferred PM rating, he added, "I was a bit what I caused a discord noise. If Chris has gone out, Isaiah's private photos are taking pity on him." Greater colour, Chris Walker said, "I said, Zed Diamond, Memorial Sister Vest become a pulse station vessel shop, not to watch a pulse, to realize that we are on a pulse, to do absolutely everything that we can to my brothers and communities, to climb power so that we get a common living works for people and for planet, as opposed to exploiting and exhausting both. India's trip and school lunch troubles for Paul comes after the Prime Minister's trip to India, when negotiations began on another attempt to secure a free child deal. The government's school lunch program remained prominent and one of the providers with liquidation. One of us rebelled went to an administration. More is a story of a Grimby, who is non-binary and disabled. He has an alter social media account which was criticized by New Zealand First Lady with the Peter's made headlines. One factor not captured in the poll is the fate of US President Donald Trump's tariffs announcement last week, which have negative impact on the markets worldwide, and it came after the survey was carried out. Right, it is a good news for everybody. I'm going to tell you that David Seymour's bill officially dead in the water. I'll tell you more detail after we played Poisoned by Alice Cooper on Chatterpedia on Era Even. This is a throwback from 1989. Farewell Sports by Alice Cooper on Chanda Peter on Area FM, far away from 1989, when my mum was only 12 years old. Looks like a government is really fading down on a tree, but which means the bill is officially dead in the water. So this is what Tamapokarikas, which he will, which will be one of his natural enemies who will fall down on that bill. Because he described a tree president's bill that is segregated a cremation day, that will probably disappoint David Seymour and probably will lead to his downfall. Hear what he has to say.
Of course, the Nehu Day, the burial day for the Treaty Principles Bill.
Yeah, do you think it will allow you to kind of move on a bit?
Look, I think what the bill has done is really galvanised and attracted a significant and diverse range of opinions, but particularly in opposition to the bill. Acknowledge also that there's a constituency that he leaves in the bill, but from what I can gather from the submissions process, the constituency is very narrow.
Seymour's pretty much on his own in there.
The Prime Minister won't be there to speak against the bill, and it's unclear if Tamapōtaka will either. Do you think they should be there?
Well, I think absolutely the Prime Minister should be there. It's about leadership. I mean, our leader will be there and be speaking on the bill. And Tama probably should speak on it too. He didn't speak on it last time. I don't think he spoke on it last time. But, you know, this has been one of the most divisive bills in our history. It's shameful the way Seymour's carrying on. And, you know, he even when there's 90% against his bill, he still talks about it like being some sort of triumph, you know. So it's sickening, really.
Mm-hmm. Where did you describe David Seymour's treaty principles as sickening? So all of the major parties, say they will vote on this bill, which means the Treaty of Waitangi principles will probably stay with us the rest of their lives. Because that is the end of a corporate exploitation that you wish for, David Seymour. And I'm actually really looking forward to lose in your next legend, so that is your downfall sealed for David Seymour, and they'll be in for a skyrocket of higher points of air party. So let's move on now. How good? Sucking up to Donald Trump, really good. It hurts that Peter Gower to say this, but I don't. He doesn't like sucking it up to anymore. But right now, we must suck up to Donald Trump. Why? Because gonna save New Zealand from the worst of his trade war. We must suck up to survive. All of his carry saying, call Donald Trump out. Now is the time we speak up, and we must stand for ourselves. I'm just playing crazy. There's no point in doing a golf. Here's our diplomatic game plans. Straight from Manager from Visa Trade. Donald Trump is a schoolyard bully. One of the smallest kids in class, and we must hide from him. If a bully does notice us, we must suck up to him. One thing is where he stood out to me about Donald Trump across his first term and this one. He's barely mentioned New Zealand. We've not just on this radar at all. That's a real positive in the current craziness. Here's no coincidence that New Zealand has escaped the unscathed to the rest of the world. We have a 10% tariff, as I said, it is effectively a 10% tax on carry imports going to the States, much lower than other places. We need to keep it out that way, so we need to get our mouths shut and not alert Trump. In fact, if we have things we can do to suck up to Trump, we should do them. Take Vilkov personally. I want to give him a nail for calling Trump out, but actually it's better to suck up to America and fire his butt. Maybe some Trump underlining will have noticed. So I feel thanks for your service. Everyone wants to be a hero and stand up to the schoolyard bully. Why not? The stakes are too high for New Zealand. It is just not worth it. New Zealand makes money by selling the world. Trump could destroy our economy with a stroke of a pen. So let's keep sticking up to Trump. Sadly, it is what we have to do. Try not to upset him. Hope he doesn't notice. And most of them, hope it works. I know it sucks, but suck it up to Trump is what we need to do. It is the most hilarious thing it ever says. That's what more about Paddy Gower has to say. God, that Paddy Gower is a funny man, so he always cracked me up. He is memorable for fun. This is not for effing news. Sorry, this is the effing news, he told a reporter back in 2014. Kiwi humor survives to this day. Effing news will definitely live on to its humor.
How good is sucking up to Donald Trump? Really good. It hurts me to say this because I don't like sucking up to anybody. But we must suck up to Donald Trump right now. Why? It is going to save New Zealand from the worst of his crazy trade war. We must suck up to survive. All those Kiwis saying, call Donald Trump out. Now is the time to speak up and we must stand up for ourselves are just plain crazy. There is absolutely no point in doing a golf right now. Here is our diplomatic game plan straight from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Donald Trump is the schoolyard bully. As one of the smallest kids in class, New Zealand must hide from him. If the bully does notice us, we must suck up to him. It's that simple. Because one thing really stands out to me about Donald Trump across his first term and this one, he has barely mentioned New Zealand. He's never met with anyone from New Zealand. We are just not on Donald Trump's radar at all. It is a real positive in the current craziness. It is no coincidence that New Zealand has escaped relatively unscathed compared to the rest of the world. We have a 10% tariff, which is effectively a 10% tax on Kiwi exports going into the States, much lower than other places. We need to keep things this way. So we need to keep our mouths shut and not alert Trump to our existence. And if we can do things to suck up to Trump, we should do them. Take Phil Goff. Personally, I want to give Goffy a knighthood for calling Trump out. But actually, it is better to suck up to America and fire Goff's butt. So thank God we did. It's because maybe some Trump underling will have noticed. Sorry, Phil, and thanks for your service. Everybody wants to be the hero and stand up to the schoolyard bully. But right now is not the time to be a hero. Don't be a hero, New Zealand. It is just not worth it. New Zealand literally makes our money by selling to the world. Trump could destroy our economy with a stroke of that pen of his. So let's just keep sucking up to Trump. Try not to upset him. Hope he doesn't notice us. And most of all, hope it works.
First sight is actually cracks me up so bad. Right now it is. I am going to play Where's Your Header by Bison and Jackson Chattopedia on Area FM. I always love that song. Fawaz, where's your head at by Basement Shacks on Shadowpedia on Arrow FM? Elon Musk has called President Donald Trump's trade offers a bit of a moron. Elvis comments he made about his electric vehicle firm Tesla. Musk, who is also a member of a Trump administration, said the fire was Doma Van Sickerbrix on his host on a social media platform X. It was a response to an interview which Navarro gave in which he criticized Musk, who is not a car manufacturer, he's a car assembler in many cases, Navarro said. Navarro was being interviewed by this Trump sweeping tariff policy, said he wanted to see his palm mate in the US in the furniture instead. Musk, who has hinted at his opposition to the White House trade policy, said Navarro's claims about Tesla were demonstrated false. That spat was the most public sign of disagreement yet between Trump and trade team and Musk, the world's richest man who has a Department of Government efficiency dodge, which was tear-tongue restriction exercise the speeding of a federal government. Later on Tuesday, White House spokeswoman Karen Redford asked about the row between Musk and Navarro. These are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. She told reporters, boys will be boys and will be public speaking continue. He rather said Trump and purchased despite his global wave of tariffs, saying he wants to revive manufacturing in the US. This is an argument Navarro made during an appearance on CNBC on Monday. If you look at the audience right now, we're a separate line of German engines and transmissions right now, he said, we're going to get on play where America makes stuff again. We're just going to be up. Promise are going to be up. Up. Navarro added, responding to the comments on Tuesday, Musk posted a link to a news article by car valuation firm Kelly Blue Book, which cited cars.com citing that Tesla vehicles have most parts produced in the US. By any damage whatsoever, Tesla is the most vehicle integrated auto manufacturer in America with high percentage of used content. Musk wrote in the follow-up post, technology industry expert and I said the company was first exposed to tariffs than other used car markets such as GM, Ford, and Stellantis. PG claimed the company sourced the majority of the parts outside the US, particularly China. The tariffs, a new car from world disrupt Tesla, the overall supply chain, and its global footprint, which has been clear advantage over the years, versus ways and competitors like BYD. He said, Chevy Sonnenfeld, a dean and a professor at the Yale School of Management, who hosted a gathering of business executives in Washington last month, said Musk was outlining what many Americans hear, but they are reluctant to say publicly about Trump trade policies. 79% of them said they are embarrassed in front of international partners, and 89% said they were needlessly taken into a recession in a misguided economic policy. Mr. Sonnenfeld told the BBC, referring to survey taken that he hosted even before Roe with Navarro. Musk hinted at dissatisfaction with a tariff policy. On Monday, he posted a video of an economist, Milton Friedman, another opponent of the tariffs, which he attributes the failures of a free market. Trump's sales caused stock market falls around the world, and investors calculate it will result in firms making a smaller profit. Musk said in an exercise on 27 March that even his company would not be immune from tariff disruption. Another Trump backer, a billionaire found manager Bill Ackman, he called for a pause on the tariffs to stave off what he called major global economic disruption. In a post on X, he said the coronavirus would do unnecessary harm. Navarro's considered an ultra-Trump lawyer, and he was jailed for ignoring a subpoena from a House committee investigating efforts to overturn the 2020 election. He is thought of doing one of the main architects of Trump's tariff policy. First Trump tariff policy would plunge many countries back into a recession, will probably have a worse financial crisis, can rival or worse than the global financial crisis and the COVID-19 recession. God, economists will probably have a rough time. We hope we never get back into the recession. As we only come out of it, what a dumb pea-sized man Donald Trump believe he tells him a good idea to boost the economy. It won't actually, because you had to be a dumb like a pea-sized man to oppose these blood and tariffs. Because another idea, Trump wants to introduce those tariffs for personal enjoyment. So, I'm actually going to play death metal to you, Trump, right now. It is Fighter Milan by Monstrosity on Chartopedia on Arrow FM. Here you go. There was Pat Dunlan by Monstrosity on Shutter Peter on everything. Oh, Hobby Trump will be freshed out of Belfast because he had to play this song to him. I'm gonna tell you that 12 categories where Americans are not welcome in 2025 North Korea since 2017. US government has prohibited our citizens from traveling to North Korea, citing safety concerns. Expectations are rarely granted and only under strict supervision by North Korean guides. Even before the ban, personal exploration was forbidden and physicals had to adhere to rigid guarantees. Over our ban on American visitors have been lifted. Travel to Iran requires a patience. Americans need to travel overseas in Mumbai and must have guided accompany theme. Previously, the process coupled with trying diplomatic reactions make Iran a difficult destination. Myanmar's civil war and military group have plunged country into chaos. Fire projects and wrongful detainers and hidden land mines are among the data cited by the U.S. State Department with strong advice against travel. Americans are not just unwelcome, they are unsafe. And Myanmar made it worse with an earthquake which killed nearly 3,000 people. So it makes me point off guard in Myanmar even more for travellers. Next slot is Cuba. Americans are still restricted from visiting Cuba for tourism due to decades of trade embargo, while travel spots under civic categories such as cultural or educational exchanges. The process is heavily regulated. Businesses affiliated with the Cuban ministry are also off limits to U.S. citizens. Venezuela, with high rates of crime, corruption, and human rights violations, Venezuela is a risky destination for Americans. The closure of a U.S. embassy in Caracas in 2019 further limits the resources available for citizens, leaving them too vulnerable for detention and domestic violence. Mazik Somalia. Somalia ranks last on the Human Development Index and is plagued by poverty and terrorism. For Americans, a risk of kidnapping, illegal roadblocks, and fire attacks are expectationally high. U.S. government advises travelers to leave behind their DNA samples and drive to work before visiting, a stark warning. Next is Russia. Even before the invasion of Ukraine, Russia poses significant challenges for U.S. visitors. A visa requires a letter of invitation, extensive documentation, and approval from Russian authorities. But the geopolitical climate has only exacerbated the difficulties for American travelers. Saudi Arabia. Historically, Saudi Arabia has only allowed entry only for religious pilgrimage to Mecca. However, in the recent years, the Arabs have introduced tourist visas only to cater to U.S. travelers. Despite this, the cultural misunderstanding and strife will still pose some challenges. As Saudi Arabia lifted the ban on women's driving in 2018, to give women's more rights in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia still strip parts of women, still have fewer rights than men. Next is Bhutan. Nestled between US and China, Bhutan has no US embassy. The only way to obtain a visa is through a government approved tour operator. The process is manageable but highly restrictive, limiting the number of American visitors to the Serene Kingdom. Afghanistan's decades-long conflict makes one of the most dangerous places for Americans. Terrorism, kidnappings, and a lack of formal tourism infrastructure render travel not only to unwelcome but life-threatening. The closure of the U.S. embassy in Kabul further underscores these risks. Yemen, civil war, terrorism, and kidnapping make Yemen a no-go for Americans. The U.S. embassy in Yemen has been closed since 2015, leaving visitors without the legal protection. with foreign nationals often targeted, Americans are particularly unwelcome. Argentina, this is a surprise they've been on list for the Americans like Argentina war, as Americans visit a hearing mode to find their habits and attention clashing with the local norms. For example, writing for asado, a traditional Argentine barbecue, or skipping a gene ritual, Métis can be seen as dismissive of cherished customs. Argentines value social connection and slow enjoyment of food, so treating meals and quests on might raise eyebrows. Sharing interests in local traditions. Inside and to embrace the Argentine lifestyle can help visitors build connections and joy in authentic experience. Surprisingly, I did not know that Argentina can be slow eaters, because we actually among the fastest world. Us and Americans are a French is even more slow eaters. Each family usually takes around 2 hours because French likes to take that slow, and average French takes an hour to eat a whole meal. So the next song of the day is It Is Man Eater by Treasure and Baraka on Chartopedia on Aero FM. First Man Eater by Trish and Baraka on Chartopedia on Aero FM. Right now, the fat of the day is author J.K. Rowling wrote the final chapter of her last Harry Potter book in 1997, years before the release of her first book. Well, that is a fascinating fact to tell you. to tell you, mate. But I'm gonna finish off my show with a New Zealand song. It is Rule for World by Jihad on Shadowpedia on Arrow FM.
Anyone home? What is-
that's Wolf by Jihad on Chatterpedia on Arrow Even. Well, that is it for Chatterpedia. I'll see you next Wednesday. This is Chatterpedia on Arrow Even. Good luck and goodbye.